I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Summer, I'll be sitting in the evening car, watching the ships roll in. Then I'll watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide.
Hello and welcome to the Everton Fan Focus podcast. Nice bit of music to start the show there, wasn't it, Mark?
Not apt, mate, apt. But that was the music that just got blasted in a taxi on the way up here. It's like just out of nowhere, he put Smooth on and then that song comes right on. And the taxi driver, first time that I've ever known, blasts it right up. He must have loved it himself. I thought, well, there's the agenda for tonight. We can't really talk about nothing else.
It's an absolute sign, isn't it? It's been, what, 3 full days now since the news of last week's announcement. I've just come back from Bramley Moor. I've been sitting down there with a crate and a box of fireworks since 5 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah,
and I spotted you on the dock road yourself, semi naked, face paint on.
I've been doing cartwheels and stuff, been getting dead good at them, you know, and getting people to... Look, people thought we were protesting against something, but we really weren't. But it's a fabulous news, isn't it?
Safe to say, Thursday was brilliant, and then obviously me and you were still very much hype all about it.
Yeah.
So it was just a small matter of you getting those night shifts out the way, and now we're here, and we're ready to... Get it all off our chest.
It's such a shame we have worked in the way of all this stuff. You know, if only we could do this for a living, that'd be great. But, you know, yeah.
Just ride around doing podcasts all the time. But, yeah, I agree. We probably had a lot to say Thursday, Friday, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did say we'd be back this weekend to talk about it because it's still fresh in the memory. And, obviously, it's going to look like a brighter future for Everton FC. So,
not half.
Just to them... Just to touch on what we found out on Thursday, for those who've been locked in a cave, we found out that Everton and Liverpool City Council have revealed plans to build a potential new stadium for Everton FC worth up to possibly £350 million.
Yeah.
We also learned that Everton have agreed a deal with Peel Holdings to purchase land for that stadium, and we'll make a point that... The land isn't as yet purchased, but the deal is being agreed.
Terms of heads agreement.
Heads of terms.
Heads of terms. God, you know, sounded like I was talking about them for a minute.
Well, I was going to say, you're not going to get, a Scally from Kirkton, a Scally from Old Swan. We don't work in finance. We're probably not going to sound like we know what we're talking about with a lot of the ins and outs of this. But
it technically means that they have control of the site, don't they? Yeah. From what Elston was saying, and for the first time in his life, he actually spoke quite well there. Instead of looking pompous or arrogant, he spoke well with Joe Anderson, didn't he? About what the update was on the ground. But it's clear that a significant step has been made with that news on Thursday.
Definitely, and as you say, they've secured that land, took control of the site, but as I say, no deal's being done in terms of the actual purchase of it, but there's a deal in place, and it's reportedly worth around £22 million.
Yeah.
That's where we were up to, and then obviously 5 o'clock, the media got hold of that story about the deal being agreed, and then 5 o'clock came, and all was the rumours, panic stations. And unfortunately, Everton, in conjunction with Liverpool City Council, announced the plans officially. Yeah. Although we didn't see any drawings or images, it was the scope for what's going to happen in the future, how the council will fit in with that.
Yeah.
Again, not going to sound like we know what we're talking about here, but the council are going to act as a special investment vehicle for the club. A guarantor, yeah, that was another word that was used, and they'll earn just over £4 million a year from the deal. Basically, Everton have still got to go out and find the funding.
Yeah.
But the council are going to assist them, and I use that word loosely, yeah, assist them
heavily
to find that borrowing. And then,
but we have to assume that none of this would have happened unless that would be somewhere down the line as to being secured. It seems to be a lot of effort for nothing, if you know.
Someone explained it to me the other week, Mark, and basically talked about like the council's reputation and credit scoring and lending facility.
Yeah.
I don't know officially how it works, but I'm led to believe that it's better with their involvement than just a Premier League football club rocking up, and obviously you've got certain risks that entails.
Getting your mum to get a loan for you because you haven't paid a few credit cards.
And I think the way it sort of pans out, a lot of people's perceptions was, oh, the council are funding it,
yeah,
and this and that, which was not the case. It's going to be fully funded, which was a huge part of it. And I'll give you the chance to speak now, Mark. I'm just running through a few of the points that we made.
No, it's okay.
Planning permissions, the next stage, with a view to departing Goodison by season 2020-21. And obviously there's an awful lot to consider in terms of infrastructure, networks, the land itself, because there's water there. It's not just land you're purchasing. Obviously the water needs to be dredged. But this
selling in,
and I think it's a 40-year lease that was also mentioned.
Yeah,
obviously Joe Anderson and Al Stone were the ones who came in front of the cameras, and that is the brief overview of it. And since then, that's basically the hard work starts here. But since then, Mark, my general feeling, and I know yours, is that it's a very significant step in the right direction.
Massively, mate. Yeah, this is for the first time. It's not just been talk. It's not just been false promises. It's not been false dawn. Something actually concrete, if you pardon the pun, has happened here. You know, that tells us, that says there is a real ambition now and ever, and to get things done, to get the club moving in the right direction. And the way that, you know, they've gone about it very quietly, very professionally. Machiri is now oozing class for me. The guys that do are not a talker. He doesn't talk, he doesn't need to. He does, you know, and things like this. This is the first news we've ever had where, you know, big steps have been made to actively propel this club back to where it should be, mate. And that's what we all want at the end of the day. None of us, you know, the 22 million, but the finer details, nobody really cares, mate, as long as it happens, don't they? You know, it's good to go over them and let people know what the score is. But ultimately, fans think, okay, new ground, new investors. Investors are going to be running to a new ground in the City of Liverpool, iconic, first time ever. You know, and then that links to better players coming in, that links to trophies, and ultimately that's why everyone's buzzing.
Yeah.
Because the domino effect starts now. You know.
Yeah, and that's what it goes back to me saying there, kind of joking, saying we in no way do we know what we're talking about, the finer details.
Yeah, I said don't fill the land in. I mean, the land's already filled in, it's the water that needs
filled. Well, that's
it.
We don't work in development, we don't work in finance, we don't work for the council, we don't know, do we?
No.
I saw what Everton released, and the way I perceived it is it's everything that I wanted to hear.
Yeah.
All the sound bites coming out of the media, the council and the club on Thursday was everything I've been longing to hear for years.
Yeah.
You mentioned there the false dawns, and we're not going to let negativity creep into this podcast.
No, but that's the reason for the excitement now.
Of course, and look at Warrior Park, look at Destination Kirby.
Yeah.
Look at King's Dock.
Oh, the tearjerker.
The amount of times you've mentioned them since I've known you, you know, you're into the hundreds and thousands, but they were false dawns. A lot of them didn't get off the ground. Relationship with the council a couple of years ago looked at an end at one point, in terms of the sound bites coming out of the club and the council over Wally Hall Park.
But yeah, there was nitpicking and you know, tit for tat, wasn't it, really?
It was. And you look further back than that, and there's been talk about redevelopment around Goodison Place, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
So many things that have kind of fell on the sword, and just it's not got off the ground. And obviously we've got our views on the operational side of the club and the board and how we operate it, but things have changed since Machiri's come on board.
Yeah.
Probably last time we done a podcast, we were singing his praises. But he is a shrewd businessman. He's got colleagues there now as well, and I think Thursday's step was a key factor in what he's proposed since he's been at the club.
Absolutely.
And his vision for the club overall.
Well, that's the door opened, isn't it? And for the first time ever, it's not a door opened and then, oh, we'll see what we can do as regards to the money and all that. This is a door open to a much, much brighter future for us, a really exciting future, because this guy just needed this stadium, I think, to propel us to, you know, to where he wants the Everton Football Club to be. It was all about the stadium, wasn't it? You know, and now that's the first sign of us getting it.
And that's it, and it's no some like ramshackled business plan that's being drawn up by some half, you know, half-hearted so-and-so. It's a proper plan, and the council have even sought legal advice on it to see if it's viable, and it apparently it's being described as a robust and you know, well thought out and very much an achievable plan.
Yeah.
The way Everton operates at the moment, though, you'd expect nothing less.
No.
I think they wouldn't go into anything, or they wouldn't propose anything unless they knew it was a real viable option. It was feasible, it was achievable, financial, in terms of the location.
Yeah.
Everything in terms of keeping the fans on side, the relationship with the council. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of risks involved with this, but for me, the right people are involved.
Yeah.
And as this develops, even more and more people will become involved in terms of local businesses.
Going to want to get on board.
Right sponsorships, exactly.
Yeah. What restaurant or what, you know, you're talking about outlets around that area, is not going to want to be a part of this.
Well, that's it. Because it's guaranteed customers, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the stadium is not going to be just used for football, you would imagine. You know, it's going to be the go-to place for concerts and stuff like that, you would hope. You know, I would think that's the whole vision here. This is going to be, you know, the centrepiece, isn't it? Let's face it. Well, any kind of stadium is going to be the centrepiece of a project, and Everton to be in the middle of that is hugely exciting.
Joe Anderson mentioned on first about the Commonwealth Games, you know, looking at 2022 or something.
Yeah.
He's in talks over that. It makes complete sense that Everton would then be a part of that.
Yeah.
Look at the Echo Arena, I think it only holds 10,000.
Yeah.
It was 50,000 seats to stadium plus just up the road. You know, if they can build a Costa Coffee in the middle of Old Swan, I can't wait to see what they can build around a Premier League football stadium on the waterfront in Liverpool.
Well, I was laughing at we went past the Bromley to Dr. Day. It's just like, it's like stalking a bear, isn't it?
I said a senior line in the middle.
That was Thursday. We went past there, and the Titanic Hotel is there, which looks very impressive. But it's in the middle of, it's like a non too subtle way of saying something massive is going on here. Because why would you plonk the hotel right in the middle of an industrial wasteland?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's really saying that's just the start of what's happening here, you know, and the whole site, you know, why there's even one protest about, we know why the protests are, they don't want to be second best, but, you know, we didn't want to be second best for all them years either, so it's tough shit, isn't it? But, you know, the land itself is a complete wasteland. It just looks ready to go, doesn't it? You know, and we're going to be in the middle of that.
Well, I was down there the other week, and nothing's changed. And I used to work not far from there over 10 years ago now.
Yeah.
And nothing has changed. Not a brick in the wall. It's in desperate need. You could say from the heritage market up towards the pierhead, but the other way especially, there's still businesses down there, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
And there's a docklands area, there's some industry and whatnot, but there's a lot of things that can be done and will be done, but also there's things to be considered. The fact that there's water there, the fact that there's heritage sites, that's a factor in Bramley Moor itself, isn't it? Which the council are going to have to rubber stamp, and then I believe they take that to the government.
And because they have to okay it.
So you've still got all of that red tape really to come through. So it's not just like pitching up and building on land that's already wasted and, you know, redeveloping on that. It's everything. There's so much to consider, and that's why I do think it's taken so long to announce it, and it's been a very carefully thought out way of announcing it. It's not in a room full of journalists who are going to be like, what about this, what about that? Because a lot of the questions we probably can't answer at the moment.
No, and it's a lot. It seems they've gone, you know, they want this as watertight as possible, so that it goes as smoothly as possible, because the inference is that the Mashiri wants this done as quickly as possible, doesn't he? You know, he wants this club moving on. So it's like they prepared the best, which they've done it clear, with a clear direction, which is now, you know, is like the hallmark of Machinery's here so far. There's a very clear and structured approach to everything that we're doing, from the football side of things, the academy, you know, right the way through Steve Walsh, right the way through to Koeman. You know, there's a clear path now where we're going.
And that's just 14
months. And that's now translating back into business plans to the council. You know, the whole club is being run the way it should be run, you know, and it's clear now. It's hugely exciting when the fellas got 1.5 billion behind them.
Well, that's just 14 months involvement.
14 months, yeah. I mean, we're talking 14 years, 16 years with nothing. That's not a day, it's just fact.
That's just 14 months, and you know, the anniversary passed, it may be 13 months, sorry, I think it was the anniversary in February,
yeah.
And you look back and you think, oh, some new investors come in and it's crash, bang, wallop. Whereas we talked about this before, the silent type going about the business slowly, transitional, and that, you know, if it, as you say,
but for
16
transition
years,
a lot's been done.
Exactly, for transition a lot has been done, so you still get people saying, I want, you know, £15 million signings and I want this and I want that, but when you open your eyes and actually see what's going on in front of you and behind the scenes, there's a lot of progress, and I agree, this is the flight, the final, not the final, this is, he's been building to this, and now this is probably the biggest statement since coming here, right, this is the vision, because otherwise, what much of a vision can you really have at Goodison Park?
None.
I mean, a lot of tradition, a lot of history,
absolutely,
a lot of heritage.
I firmly believe we're going to take that with us. You know, we're going to miss the area of going to the match, but I think, you know, they're going to incorporate everything that's great about the club in the new ground, aren't they? You know, so I'm not worried about that, but I'm more excited about not being best of the rest anymore and challenging the likes of City and Chelsea and United, you know, and stuff like that. Not so much United, but, you know.
That's what we're in the league for, though, isn't it?
Yeah, challenge win trophies. Remember what that felt like? Yeah. I can't.
We need, that's what I mean. It needs to be a new home, a new place to build memories, to win trophies, to sign bigger players, to do better things, to get our name back on the map. Because for too long, you've said plucky little Everton, you know, there or thereabouts. You know, at one point we did crack the top four, we've flirted with Europe, we've dropped up and down slightly the past couple of years. But really, you know, you can. It's all right. You're spending £30 million on players and stuff, and you know, paying £10 million to pay off a manager and bringing in other clubs' managers.
Yeah.
You need that vision off the pitch as well. New stadiums, new sponsorship of training complexes, things like that.
It's all happening. That never happened before.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's all Farhad Moshiri's fault that this is happening and it's all falling into place. There's other people as well and other factors, but. It was really a significant day for me on Thursday night.
Yeah, and me. You thought I could. I know you haven't get you feeling like that light and airy, don't they, about life when something great happens like that, you know. Just Evan's success is a lot of people's happiness as well, isn't it? You know, and same with us, but it's just.
Without a doubt.
Fabulous to see clear intent and ambition for once from the club. And we haven't always had that. In fact, very rarely have we had that, but from now. It's clear now that there's ambition to take the club where it belongs.
I think, like, on Thursday, I was reluctant to even broach the situation of the media announcing certain things.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get to 5 o'clock and, you know, after work, I was flapping a bit, thinking, is it going to happen? Then it did, and I just getting texts and that, and, you know, WhatsApps and people just saying, yes, get in, like, just, like, celebrating and, you know,
it's like a goal winning.
Taking the piss, saying, oh, you're celebrating like you win the league, but if you're an Evertonian, and you've endured whatever Evertonians have endured.
Yeah.
Then you want to pick the positives. You want to have a future, and you want to look to something. And
you
I think that's definitely what we've got with Bramley Moore.
Chance to get excited, and this tells us that we should be excited. You know, for once.
So you've got, you know, without going over the top into the detail, you've got probably a 3 or 4 year plan to get this all wrapped up. There's obviously risk with club performance in terms of relegation. People saying, can you fill a stadium? But the capacity came into it. It's looking like a 50,000 seater. Maybe a lot of people may say maybe need more. That's just a provisional figure, by the way. I don't know whether they'll want to do more.
I think they'll want to do more.
Do you think so?
Yeah, because, you know, 50,000 seat stadium isn't exactly making a statement in the Premier League. I know we're not going to, people fans are worried about filling the ground, but I do believe, you know, rightly or wrongly, if we go on the path and, you know, they continue to invest in the team and we do well, then we will get more fans, newer fans coming into the club. It'll bump the capacity up. I think we should look to make a statement, mate, to be honest, because 50,000 equals what, West Ham's? It equals, you know, that one across there is still above us, so if we're going to really steal the show with where we're going to put it, then steal the show with how much we're going to put in it. Absolutely.
So, much has been made about Joe Anderson's role, but he obviously praised his team and certain parts of the council, but just between us, I think he does deserve praise, and I thought he spoke well the other day.
Yeah.
It's easy to have the assumption, isn't it? He's a Blue, he wants to do what's best for Everton, but he was clear in what he said, that he wants to do what's best for the city council and the city.
Yeah.
And that's why he said, like, if anyone else came to us with this type of deal, we'd snap their hands off. Because
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ultimately, the council, to work in conjunction with Everton, will benefit from it. They get financial security from it.
Yeah.
They get redevelopments. They get road, rail networks, infrastructure, obviously jobs.
People coming into that area as well.
Tourism.
Yeah.
And what, that was one thing about jobs and the, you know, provisional figures. They were saying in total over the entire project, you're talking jobs into the thousands, you know, maybe 600 to 1,000 jobs just generated from building stadiums.
That's huge.
And you've got all the permanent jobs that will come with any changes around there.
Yeah. Absolutely, security, stuff like that, you know, everything. You
there was quote,
there's a whole industry created.
£100 million economic cost, £50 million on just the roads, and obviously they're doing a bit of digging over there at the moment.
Yeah.
And it kind of all ties in nicely with the Liverpool Waters project, which, again, we both don't work in development and we don't know the ins and outs of it, but there's a plan there.
With £5.5 billion.
And that is going to be huge in itself. So if you think it's like a second city centre, basically,
yeah,
and then Everton are on the cusp of that, looking in, it's like a whole new waterfront in itself.
That's right, but it's a brand new vibrant side of Liverpool that's going to be added, and Everton will be in the middle of that. You know, instead of building on Stonebridge Cross
yeah,
in the middle of nowhere, where fans will just go to the game and that's it. This is going to be part of an area that people are going to want to go to, regardless of the stadium, so it's going to bring more attention to it. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
I just think it's vibrant. I think the statement runs through the whole ethos of Moshiri at Everton. You know, it's vibrant, it's young, and it's fresh and ambitious.
And it benefits other people rather than just Everton. It's kind of a win-win. Big thing for me is the jobs, the location, and the area around it, but also, you know, the attraction to the city, being proud that Everton are actually down there as well. And I love all them type of things. There's going to be a lot of regeneration it's crying out for it, never mind whether you build a stadium down there. And obviously Liverpool Waters will incorporate a lot of that, but
yeah,
you know, that area of Liverpool, it isn't the best, and it's just off the beaten track from the city centre. So all of this money coming in, it is a win-win for more than just Everton Football Club.
Yeah, it's an eyesore, the area, isn't it? Badly needed to be doing, so the whole city improves.
Yeah.
With what's happening.
You know? And I think, you know, the council's role is key to that. The mayor's role, Joe Anderson's key to that. I was impressed with what he had to say. There wasn't an awful lot on the day. I was impressed from the interview I saw. And Robert Earlstone, you know, opinions aside of him, I thought he spoke well, and he didn't say anything I didn't want to hear. He maybe was a bit more downbeat than Joe Anderson, that may be one criticism, but I was impressed with all of it, the press release that came out and the noises since, and I think this is just the start, and we could hopefully we'll be doing these for the next 3 or 4 years.
Oh yeah, 100%. We'll do like a month by month build. So what's the North Stand has just gone up.
Your lad will be in seniors then. We were taking him to his first game. Radisson Park.
Imagine that.
But
crazy, and that goes for a lot of people. It's just going to be, it's going to be heartbreaking to leave Goodison.
Well, that's what I was just going to come on to that point.
You know,
what's your feelings about
that's
that?
That's going to be absolutely monumental. That's just going to be heartbreaking because it's all we've ever known. And I know that goes for a lot of clubs who've switched their grounds. But that's a ground there that not only holds memories, it holds some terrific players who other clubs would have died to have in their team. Do you know what I mean? I always think that about our legends, are that they're so much better than most other clubs' legends. It's just names that jump off the page. You've all blessed that pitch, you know, and for us it's the way of life, isn't it, going to the match, going to Goodison, the horse shit, the burgers, Goodison Road, the betting shop, the chippy, the queue outside. We're going to miss that with the rustic bit of it, you know what I mean? But
sold it to me, I don't want to leave.
Let's not leave. It's going to be heartbreaking. I'm going to have to take my seat on with me. but it's just going to be really
difficult. If only you can literally pick them traditions up and take them with you.
Yeah, put them in a bag.
Location,
You know, yeah, absolutely. It's just that is going to be heartbreaking, you know. So I think I'll have to run on the pitch at like an 18-year-old or something.
I completely agree. For the likes of me and you, like local round there, or I've been, you know, with some times in our lives, walking the match, certain meeting points, chips and curry was always
Wasag Island, mate. You know,
people walking through the turnstiles with massive trays of chips and just like.
And I was thinking, how the hell are you getting that at before kickoff? It's 4 minutes away.
I know. Having a ciggy in Gladys Street Box, just the whole area around there. It's always been in desperate need of a lot more, and a lot of it's just clinging on because of Everton.
I know.
You know, we talked about this previously, and we're not here to bloody save jobs or build houses, and but we do need to mention it. And I remember you and Sedo talked about it last time.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is only like bits, snippets of information from Everton, but they're going to look at not just obviously walking away from L4. They're going to offer affordable housing
and like recreational areas. Yeah, stuff like, that's going to bring people into the area.
Yeah, like public spaces. So you would say like parks and leisure centre.
Yeah.
Things like that. I mean, you're still restricted because there's a lot of terraced houses still around there, and County Road is always a thoroughfare anyway. But I think like education, welfare, advice, things like that, and you know, it all ties in with the work, the ethic of the club anyway, with Everton and the community and what they do now. So it's not like it'd be like, oh, what do we do now? I think Everton have got the tools to make that work and make sure that Walton and L4 is just not a forgotten land.
Well, we don't abandon it. We are leaving it, but it's important that we don't abandon it, you know, and look after the area, because it's been our home for God knows how long, 100+ years, isn't it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's important that they look after the area, because I was thinking about pubs like the Oak and stuff like that. How the hell would they survive, you know, once Everton move?
Yeah.
And you just think the whole area is going to crumble, but I think, you know, there's enough shops around there and supermarkets and stuff. People still visit the area, don't they?
You'd like to think it wouldn't. It's not, as I say, it's not the best looking area anyway, and there's sometimes a lot of deprivation in certain areas.
Yeah.
In Liverpool and around there, and it hasn't really changed much, has it?
No.
In terms of what's there and the development, Everton have just like kind of kept a few doors open with the pubs and things. They can keep some only open on a match day now, so it would be harrowing to come away from there. Let's not get away from that fact. You'd have to drag some people out of there, I think, on the last game.
And the rest.
But people, you know what?
Yeah, but you know, we want to see Everton win trophies again, don't we?
That we need to.
We're not going to get there staying in Goodison. We need to get to a bigger ground, an iconic stadium. It's going to attract investors, which are going to plough money in. It's going to attract new players, which will equal a better chance of winning trophies.
But everyone wants better players.
Staying where we are.
Everyone wants better players, better manager, better recruitment policy, better this, better that. But that's like a lot of it's on the pitch, or effects on the pitch. Having a new stadium would hugely affect things off the pitch and on the pitch in terms of a status. So, it'd be tough, and we'll maybe do a podcast live from the Gladys Street Box on the day that we leave. But we need to talk about the future, and I'm 100%. Hugely optimistic about it. And I said the other day, I won't have no negativity about it now. because I've done all that for many years on certain issues.
We're all sick of not winning trophies. We're all sick of it, mate. But let's just move on.
You were known as a bit of a moaner yourself on Twitter. Still, you and your kid.
Yeah.
And people have said, like, they've joked and said, I missed the moaning. But you know what? You wasn't moaning because you'd enjoyed moaning.
No.
You were moaning because you're passionate about Everton. You wanted to see change. You wanted to see hope and a future.
Absolutely, yeah. And I've much preferred to be happy.
I've seen that. No, even our conversations the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
The ups and downs. A lot of the running themes. But you can't listen to us now and say, oh, they were being negative. You probably couldn't. You can't say that for the past year, probably.
No.
We've tried to take the positivity.
Yeah.
And you know, and run with it, and you can't help but do that under Moshiri. You still get people who are a bit downbeat about certain things, but I have seen a change in your mentality. Mine's definitely changed. I'll openly admit now I'm not ready to be negative.
No, normally
I'm fully in support of it all, and it is because there's been a few minor tweaks, I'll admit.
Not half. Well, it's like Moshiri from. There's nothing to moan about now. If you need to be Stevie Wonder, if you can't see what's going on, even if you're only interested in the playing side of it, which is fair dues, a lot of people aren't asked about off the pitch. They go to the match, they want to see players, that's it. Okay, just based on that then. The amount of shite they got rid of through one door, and alright, we didn't bring enough in, but the recruitment is now focused on quality and getting that right quality in. So we only brought Schneider and Luchman in, which disappointed a lot of people. But the shite we got rid of, which had no part to play in that squad, clears the way now for more of them players to come in the summer. You know what I mean? So that, I thought it was, to get rid of all them players says everything, that we're no longer accepting of talent of this level of player. This is the level of player we're going to bring in. It might take, you can get rid of eight like that, shite, but to get two in that you're going to improve us massively. Schneiderlin, you know, was a great player, isn't he? You know, we keep doing that, adding two, three of that same quality in, then we're going to go places big time, aren't we?
And you look, I agree with what you just said, you look at like three players, example, like your McGeady's, your Gibson's, your Oviedo's.
Yeah.
There's not going to be your players who will just come in like that now and we get them on cheap wages or the cheap deal. We're not going to operate like that anymore. We'd rather wait and, as you say, spend £30 million in January. But one player is for the future and one player is for the here and now.
Yeah.
And they're going to have a positive impact, and they both already have, Luchman and Schneiderlin. But in the same breath, you're not going to take that level of player in terms of quality and just making up the numbers on the pitch.
No.
But we're not going to accept performing as we were as a business off the pitch. And that's evolving.
Yeah.
So on the pitch and off the pitch, we are involving. So yeah, some listen to this and go, I don't really care. I won't listen until I see that stadium built and things like that. Well, that's fine. But you still, when I talk positivity and when I'm saying how our opinions have changed, it's not just off the field. It's on the field stuff as well.
Yeah, it's clear. To see, all right, we are seventh. People say, well, you know, but he's turned an average team with some money, you know, into a really competitive side now. It's just unfortunate that the top six have been so strong this season and we've dropped off in October, November, and then it's cost us. You know, I mean, let's face it, we're the best side in our Premier League since Christmas. You know, and I think that's fact. It's not even me talking out of my ass. I think we're top. So, Kuma for me, clearly trying to copy Kendall's 83, 84. For me, that's been in his... For me, that's what he's aiming at. Kendall was to finish that season, he knew what he had, as strongly as possible. He wasn't going to pull up any trees with what happened that season, but he knew what was going to happen the next season. And I think that's where we're at now.
Yeah.
At these next two games, if we can come through them and not suffer a defeat, and then you know, win our routine home games, then my God, there's going to be so much optimism for the summer.
We're just going to say, we're talking there about the positivity on the field, but
yeah,
we're still a work in progress.
Yeah.
And the likes of the trip to Anfield and Old Trafford in the space of 4 days is a key test to see where we're probably up to. Because last year's anything to go by, we bottled both games. They got beat 4-0 and 1-0, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
And this is a key test, but yeah, I just it's direction for me. It's direction, and you know, we've always said we're not getting any younger and all that, and we want to see trophies and things like that, but we need to be moving in the right direction for it.
Yeah.
And I do feel like we've got that. I sound like a spokesperson for the club here. but it's nice to be positive. I'm glad to see Moshiri's vision being implemented off the pitch as well as on the pitch. Thursday was huge, mate.
Massive.
I know it was huge for you. It was huge for all of us. And I know you'll get a lot of people who say, oh, I don't want to wait and all that, but, you know, what are we going to do?
Yeah, the thing is, we're not waiting in hope anymore. Things have been put in place that we are waiting for something.
We could be up there challenging at the top by the time we move into that stadium.
Yeah.
Because the money we're spending and the way we're trying to evolve with our recruitment and our players.
The youth.
Exactly. We could be up there. So you move into a stadium and you think, Everton have already cracked the top four again.
Yeah.
They're in Europe. They've got a bit of Champions League money now as well. That's an attraction in itself. Back into Europe this season's an attraction in itself. So you're building. You're building again.
Yeah. You know, Messi's going to be begging us, mate.
if he was a bit younger.
I mean,
you're right.
I know I tend to waffle on and say about this and that. I'm just trying to get my point across in the fact that I am positive about things overall.
Yeah.
And there's been times, you know, since I've known you when we've studied and we were in the bottom half of the table, getting tonked.
Yeah.
We were under Martinez.
We'd lost the players. You know,
Mashiri was nowhere to be seen.
No.
And we were in a lot darker place, I'll say, in terms of being Evertonians. Of course, we're not getting any younger and we want to see silverware.
Yeah.
But you don't know, in a fitting way, you'd like to think we'd win a trophy before we depart Goodison Park.
Absolutely. The last fitting thing that would, you know... A ground which is, you know, a lot of fans, not just Evertonians, love Everton's ground, don't they? It's a hark back to the old days of Division One football and you know, and the atmosphere close to the pitch. A lot of fans love coming to Goodison purely for the fact that there's maybe 700 boozers around the ground that you just don't get anywhere else, certainly not Middlesbrough.
Martinez, it was a good job they were there because obviously most of them at half time.
The business was never brisker. The matters, but you know, it's going to be sad to leave, but you know, we have to do it, don't we? In order to progress,
we do, and it will be a sad day when we do depart. But let's not hide away from the fact that there's still an awful long way to go with this.
It's not happening in the next 5 minutes,
no. And you know, I've spoken there, and we are talking about leaving Goodison, we are talking about a new stadium. Nothing is done and dusted, no bricks have been laid. We haven't purchased the land officially.
That's,
and we haven't
spade.
Had planning commission.
That's not been bought yet either.
Well, you know, forget all that.
Forget all that. We're going to win the league 2021.
Exactly.
I do stand by what I say. We will win the league before them run across the park.
Yeah, that would be absolutely hilarious. I would be down on Bramley Mall then with my crate and my box of fireworks.
Same here.
But I think, you know, we're both probably the same. You probably had a lot to get off your chest since Thursday, and
yeah.
You know, unless you're surrounded by Evertonians, you can't really get it off your chest unless you just sit on Twitter. You wanna? I was beaming Thursday night. I hardly slept. I was trying to like bloody write stuff about it and all that, just because I wanted to express.
It wants to pour out. Yeah, it is me having to work a night shift. You know, with a red.
That's it. You couldn't even have a beer to toast it.
Yeah. I had it sell. No, I was screaming against nothing. Nobody could hear me.
But finally, we've had our chance, and the timing comes, you know, before Derby week. So it is.
Well, it adds to the enthusiasm, doesn't it? You know, and we're trying to get some belief going in what the club's doing, and things like this. This is more proof that, you know, this is the real thing that's happening to us. You know, so it's not
an imaginary stadium on the docks, as some had labelled it from across the park.
It's not imaginary. No, Johansson said it was real, and now it looks real.
That's it. So you've got a couple of other things. The naming rights, and you know, the council will have certain say so on certain things. But it was funny on Twitter the other night. I mean, I don't know about your personal favourites, but there were so many. You got any yourself, mate, to potentially name
the Arteta Money Superdome was one of my favourites that I've seen. I think it was called that. To be honest, I was in work, so I didn't really catch most of the suggestions.
The Ketty Ads,
The Ketty Ads.
Shout out to whoever, I think it was someone who I follow, but it was there was lists of them.
Maybe the Howard Kendall Blue and White Undies Stadium.
You know, around there, though, like the roads and networks and that, though, if you're building new roads and in an ideal world, you start taking your historical factors and your names with you, don't you? Your Howard Kendall Way.
Yeah, but I want Regent Road now to be called Reeds Cross Grey Avenue. Stuff like that, you know.
These are the things, like Elstone said, we'll go into dialogue with the supporters clubs and the fans forum and the supporters in general. over Everton and take as much on board, and I'm sure these type of suggestions will be taken seriously.
It's just gonna, you know, it's stuff, it's just gonna add to the, you know, we want to get the history all over it, don't we? You know, we really do, inside a modern stadium.
You're building like a new, like a new temple for Evertonians where they can go and,
this is,
do you know what I mean? It's not just gonna be a fortnightly thing where we all turn up there.
It's like Extreme Makeover Stadium Edition.
Yeah, you're gonna have all the reasons to go down there.
Yeah.
As you said, concerts, things like that. You're gonna have hotels. You're gonna have a lot of other things going on around there. So it's not just gonna be a fortnightly thing where you turn up at Goodison and think Betty's been out with the bleach down the concourse. The shine doesn't taste no better. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I'm taking my nephew for X Factor auditions at Goodison, you know, Everton everywhere. Cowell wearing Cowell number 4 on the back.
You just don't know, do you? The possibilities are endless.
And yeah.
That was the overriding feeling I got from Thursday, mate. So
a window of opportunities has now opened slightly. We just need to push the safety jar locked in, push it right out.
You always have to come up with something, don't you? Well, yeah, so we'd like your thoughts. Obviously, we've read a lot on Twitter over the past few days, but let us know your thoughts. Let us know if we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves. Let us know if we maybe a bit too overexcited by it all. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know the finer details, if you know them. Because as I said before, us two scallies,
well, not a clue.
Not a clue. We can only write things down or observe press releases and stuff like that.
But, yeah.
Do you know what? I don't really care. As long as we're moving in the right direction, and all the signs on Thursday are pointing that.
It's just news that we haven't had before. I haven't. And it's news that tells us that Everton are serious about being great again under Moshiri. You know, how can you not be excited?
Am we even considering moving to the Wirral so I could just look over and see it every day?
Yeah, I'm going to try and get a job on the dredge boat so I can just sail past it every day.
Those,
you know,
lucky bastards on the Wirral.
I know, they don't deserve it really.
But you know, send us a few pictures.
Opposite Benitez's home, do you think?
But it's like it's part of the sky, not necessarily the three faces, it's a lot further down than that, but there's no getting away from the fact that it'd be visible from everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And the aerial shot, you know, I'm thinking of the three queens coming in. It's just going to be right there, isn't it?
The ships.
In the middle of it. You know, when they come in and it's a monster event, drags people in from all over, really, doesn't it, to see them. That's stuff like that, mate. Any aerial shots. You know, they can recreate Brookside again, we can get the Everton ground in on the city centre bit at the start.
Just have Usmanov coming up, though.
Yeah, Usmanov both.
He has to get a mention, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has to get a mention, because their heads fall off every time his name's put in.
It is, you know, the way it's going at Arsenal there. I read something like he's worth 15 billion now. He earned 3 billion in the past 12 months, Usmanov, so...
I'm guessing it's this guy Steele that's going to be building this.
Well, you'd like to think so.
You know,
he could have his fair pick of apartments down there, helicopter pads.
Yeah.
A yacht park.
A yacht park, yeah. Monaco. You know,
interested us, man.
Party boats to Monaco overnight. You know, you'd be back. You know, 24 quid. You get your ale, your food, your grub. You get, you know, Cody box free, and watch the footy on the way over.
Never mind, rides on a Cadillac. Rides on Usmanov's yacht. But I think that's the first Phoenix Nights related.
I mean, all we do is talk about that.
In 2 years.
How come Phoenix Nights never mentioned it? But
a lot
you know,
of the time we don't even say hello to each other, we just quote each other.
I can't, you know, to quote again, Usmanov, the louder you scream, the faster the ride. It would be great on his yacht.
Alright, I think we need to bring it too close.
We'd go away with one, not two.
But anyway. We've skated over probably an awful lot of that in terms of the finer details, but I think it was just important to get our feelings off.
Absolutely, and acknowledge it.
Yeah,
for what it is.
There you go. Thanks for everyone for listening.
Cheers, guys.
We'll see you at Bramley Moor.
Bring a ball.
Bring a ball, and it won't be long before we're sitting on the dock of the bay. We're going to have to get that in. Ta-da.
Bye now.